Welcome to the Lisa Show's Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, mother of five baby adults. They're all on various levels of being an adult, but in a baby form. And I stick to that scientific definition.
Yes.
The Council of Moms, where all of our phones are on silence, and we're very uncomfortable about that. But it's because what we're talking about is important, right? We're solving the problems that we know are on your mind, things that we like to talk about, and some things we don't like to talk about but need to talk about. That's what the Council of Moms is all about. And today on the council, I have...
Hi, I'm Kylie England. Super excited to be here. Thank you for having us. And I am a mom of 1.5 babies. Oh. Well, he's more than a half, but I have a 2-year-old little girl, and then I have one on the way at the end of May. And it's so fun.
Congrats.
Thank you.
So exciting. I love it. I'm Amy Hackworth, and I am a mom of 3 boys. I have a 20-year-old, an almost 18-year-old, and a 10-year-old. So parenting some baby adults.
Yep.
And a guy I still like to call a baby. Yeah. That little 10-year-old.
I like it.
That's awesome. My name is Marley Salamatin, and I have a 3-year-old little boy, and I have a 9-month-old baby girl, and they are so fun, also in the new stages of motherhood, just winging it, just trying to figure it out as they go along. So,
should say officially the Council of Moms originated from really my belief that we're all just making it up as we go along. I definitely use my background in improvisation in mothering more than I ever thought. And one thing that I have come to learn is that none of us can do it alone. We all need each other, especially when motherhood gets a little bit quiet, when things get a little bit overwhelming and we tend to want to retreat back into ourselves. That's when we need people the most. Mm. So we are modeling a council of moms. You can do it at home too. In fact, I'd love to hear about it. If you want to jump on the Lisa Show socials on Instagram or Facebook or in the comments on our YouTube page, I would love it. In fact, I have really found it really meaningful to be able to hear you listening and part of our Lisa listener community, what you have to say, your experiences and your questions. And in fact, we get all of the questions that we get from the Council of Moms that we talk about here in real life and talking to people. I'm kind of an extrovert and I like to go out and talk to people and be like, what do you think about this? You know, what's your stance on that? As we're all trying to figure it out, and we are all making it up as we go. So please follow along on Facebook or Instagram. If you want to leave us a comment, that actually helps the algorithm, or so I'm informed, so that more people can see our show, see our episodes, so when they're searching to answer their questions, this can be help to people who want to. So without further ado, let's dive into the Council of Moms questions. I've talked to a lot of people recently at different events that I've been at, and have had the opportunity to talk about the Lisa Show's body image series that we did a few series back. We did a bunch of episodes just diving into this topic of body image. Mm-hmm. And I love what we've created there. I love the conversations that we've had there. And this question actually stems from a woman who listened to it, but then wonders a little bit more about how it applies to her. So I'd love to throw it out to you. And this is her question. I have one kid who is skinny and the other one is bigger. And even though they do similar amounts of activities and eating, how do I help them both love their different bodies when the world is still telling them something different? Mm-hmm. What a big, I know. And I see, Marley, the look on your face. And that's the look that I have, like, oh, like, why does it have to start so young? Why can't we just keep them in this bubble of, like, you're great, you're developing and growing and learning, and everybody's different and it's great. It's not even okay. It's fabulous. Yeah. And then keep them in that until you have to send them out into the world. But we just don't live like that. So with this particular question, where you are seeing such a stark difference but similar habits inside the home, how would you help that mom? That were your buddy and you were all sitting around in the park together just talking. Yeah. What would you say?
Sympathy is my first go-to. You know, I would just say,
so hard. That would be so hard. I've been so surprised. As a mom of boys, for a long time, I felt like body image might not get to my kids, right? I think it's such a big issue for girls and for women, and I thought maybe we'd be exempt, but that's not true. It for sure has come up for my boys, you know.
Dang it.
You know, yeah. Too skinny, too big, you know.
Really?
For sure. Even for my little, my youngest, he's being told his arms are too skinny at school.
What?
Like, he's not maybe athletic enough. And I just breaks
at
my
10?
Heart. Yeah, 10.
See,
right?
I don't know why I'm surprised, yeah. But I am.
I know. So that would be my first go-to, because what is the solution for that? It would be sympathy and love. I am so sorry that your kids are experiencing this and that you're watching it as a mom.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
And then I would pause. And I would wait for someone else to say something really great. I would have to ponder for a minute there.
Yeah. Because what do you say in that moment of solidarity when you say, yeah, I know it's really, really hard. Really, I mean, I think sometimes too, when we get together, we want to offer like our perspective. We just say, oh, this is what I've done, or this is what my kids went through, or that. Sometimes that's helpful. Sometimes it's not. I mean, sometimes it really is just sitting in the discomfort of questions. I mean, you can't totally change society. You can impact it. You can. But what do you do like right now?
What do you do? I'd be curious to know. I'd want to know more too. How do you see it show up for them? What does it look like?
Yeah.
Who, you know, who's coming to you to talk about it? Is it the kid who feels too skinny? Is it the kid who feels too big? Is someone coming to you to say, I hate this. We're doing the exact same things. Or is it the mom's own observation and she's maybe preemptively feeling pain for her kids that maybe they're not feeling themselves yet? I guess I'd want to know a little bit about that too. Who's feeling the most hurt over this? Because as a mom, we have power, right, to hold our kids' discomfort and I guess look at what belongs to us. What's my discomfort? I've certainly had those times where I'm in more pain than my kids because they haven't yet realized a situation that's uncomfortable. And so I sort of see what's coming down the road and I'm hurting more than they are. And I have realized healthy ways to balance that where I don't have to be holding on to something that
what an interesting perspective.
Isn't
I do love
theirs.
That. I can think of a couple of times where I'm like, oh, this is going to be a big problem for this kid. I got to get them ready for this. And people are going to do it. And then it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I'm really good at worrying. And that was just my story to brag about it.
Yeah.
Moms are professional warriors.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For sure.
I remember
sitting
around the dinner table one time and I could tell that my kid was struggling with friends, didn't have a lot. And he just sort of offhandedly said, well, you know what? And he was like, maybe 9, said, you know what? Not everyone's going to like you. What are you going to do? There's nothing you can do about it. And I was like, yeah, what are you going to do? I'm like eating and like, I'd excuse myself, I think, to go cry because I was
amazing.
More upset that he had to come to that realization.
Wow.
No, everyone loves you because you're beautiful and perfect. And you want that's what I wanted them to feel at that age, but they had already learned the lesson and sort of moved on. So preemptively, is this something that is actually a concern or is this a fear of a parent is a great first question.
Well, and what I love about that, about your child's realization too, is that, like, what a cool thing to learn for a 9-year-old to have learned. So
heartbreaking.
How powerful that they already had learned that lesson about themselves and about the world. And so maybe that's the silver lining too in body image, that as gutting as it can be for kids to have to deal with this and have to think about it, those kids who don't fit the norm are going to have to have the opportunity to think about it in a way that
I love how you say that.
That is right, because it sucks. It's not
an
opportunity we want. But that internal growth, that's their chance. They're going to have to face it and figure it out in ways that maybe other kids won't who don't struggle with it. And so they're going to have to decide, what is my worth based on? What is most important about me? How much do I want to push back about these stupid societal norms that say someone who's bigger, you know, doesn't fit in or someone who's too skinny doesn't fit in? I mean, it happens on both ends, right? We're so critical
of
either.
I wonder if that's an opportunity to be like, hey, heads up, kids, you're not going to win. Like you may have the perfect body, but this trends will go in and out, which is so messed up.
Yeah.
Like everyone will struggle with this for different reasons. So collectively, could we help each other not worry so much about this? I don't know. I'm curious as to what you guys think with having such younger kids. Are there things that you do intentionally or otherwise of like, okay, this is how I'm going to attack this that maybe we've like forgotten about?
Yes, that's such a good question. Yeah. I feel like that's one of my biggest things I'm working on right now, actually, because I was not very confident about the way that I looked in my own body image. And I was really hard on myself. And like you said, like a lot of women experience that. And we live in an age full of social media, full of comparison, full of, you know, being told exactly what's beautiful and what's not. And we like take that at face value. So it is really, really difficult to be able to like hone all of the information in, all of the knowledge and things that are thrown at us, and be able to step back and say like, okay, no, I'm going to define those things for myself, and I'm not going to let the world and comparison and social media affect me. I think for me, one thing that I'm personally working on and have thought a ton about with my little 2-year-old girl is right now, I mean, she's adorable. She doesn't think about this stuff.
Isn't it great?
Thank goodness.
Yeah. And you want to preserve that.
But I know that she's a sponge. Everything that comes out of her mouth, everything she does, she learns from me and dad. Mm. And so I'm looking at myself thinking, if I'm her mentor, if I'm her example, then what am I going to be doing right now today to change my own identity, to change my own beliefs so that she never has to, well, hopefully she won't have to deal with some of that stuff that I had to deal with, you know, and some of the challenges that I had with my own body image issues. Mm-hmm. And so something I've really, really worked on is changing that belief for me.
I think that's so powerful because it is an ongoing, like, situation because we live in a society.
Yeah.
Right. Other people and other messaging and things like that. And I think that is so empowering because I know that every time that I go to a place of, like, I want to complain or I'm dissatisfied with my body, I stop and I think, you got to break the cycle. Like, you've got to, the biggest motivator for me is making things better for my kids.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, then that feels more important. That feels like outside of myself. So it feels like, I don't know, a little bit more empowering maybe.
Yeah. One of the things that I try to do, especially to little girls, but to kids in general, is to not make comments about their appearance at all. It is really hard. There are a lot of cute little girls out there, right? And you just want to be like, you're so darling. Oh my gosh, you're so cute. Or I love your outfit. I try really hard to comment on who they are as a person or skills that they might have. I think that's one nice step toward breaking that cycle. But I just love what you're saying about healing ourselves first, fixing our own thoughts first, and then trying to model that to our kids.
Yeah.
My ultimate goal, and this is something I try to think about pretty frequently because I have little kids, right, is I want my kids to eventually be emotionally mature, resilient adults, right? That's what I'm working toward as a 9-month-old baby, right? And I subscribe to the belief that it's my job to be a little more proactive rather than reactive in these situations, right? Where I want to be the one to maybe break that news to them that, like, hey, you're going to hear some stuff and it might really hurt. But just know that I love you and it's okay. Oh, just like thinking about that moment is just heartbreaking. But I would rather be the one to like break the news, I guess, in a way that I know that they can receive it and then kind of work with them through that. Obviously, part of that emotional maturity is me bringing that to the table as well. And that's definitely something I've worked on, is how I look at myself and how I view my body and what I say to myself. But that's one of my goals, is to be a little more proactive in those conversations. Like, you know,
Not wait until it gets to like critical mass.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. I know it can be really like scary, or you don't want to like pop the bubble. You don't want to ruin their innocence. You know, I think about this all the time, but I think in the long run, it is better to have those conversations come from me as their parent.
Because you want them to have that sense of ownership. I think that's so smart. Yeah. You know, I'm always looking for sort of tips and tricks to trick my brain into like not overthinking it. And I wish I could remember who told me this, but being able to focus on and normalizing, I think it was Lindsay Kite, who's the author of More Than a Body. One of the co-authors. I think that's where I got it. Great book. Everyone should read it. Mm-hmm. But normalizing that bodies constantly change. Mm. Because we have this narrative, that has been really helpful to me when my kids have come of like, hey, so now I have this dark hair on my arms and I hate it. This is weird. You know, something that I was like, I didn't think that this was what you're going to worry about, but here we are, you know, to be like, oh yeah, that happens during puberty. Oh yeah, that's totally normal. And normalizing it has been so something that I have found myself saying over and over again, or like, now my waist looks like this. Now my body looks like this. Is that weird? I've had all my kids being like, is this normal? This seems not normal. Because you just feel so, I don't know. Mm-hmm, I'm just an awkward person and I just feel awkward all the time.
And change is uncomfortable.
And change is uncomfortable for everyone. So I'm like, oh yeah, that's totally normal during puberty to do that. Oh, that's totally normal to, you know, be that tall or not be that tall or whatever. It's just to normalize it, to acknowledge it of, your body's changing. That's weird. Oh my gosh, before I had kids, my body was this weird thing. And then I feel like this changed in my body and not, positive or negative, just different.
Yeah. Yeah.
And really leaning into that has helped. And I'll say that I catch myself as I age where I feel so awkward because bodies constantly change, is changing now as I'm aging. And I will say that instead of complaining about like, this is bad and it used to be good, or it's good or it's bad and now I've changed it, so this is good. I try not to ascribe that value to it. And I just say, isn't it so weird? You get used to one thing and then it changes again.
I love that. Yes. It's not bad or good. It just is changing.
It's
ongoing.
It's changing.
A process.
Yeah. Because think about it. Like the narrative is always like, it has to be the same. Yeah. Like somehow, like even in ascribing, like one kid is skinny and one is bigger, well, then what?
Yes.
Which like, do you know, we have this idea of how it should be. And then we like get back to my pre-pregnancy body, get back to how I looked 20 years ago or whatever. It's like we have this idea that bodies shouldn't change. Yeah. So I like that because it feels like something that you can do instead of like combating against negativity.
And I love, on that note, I have a friend who has such a great post on social media, a video of her and her daughter in swimsuits looking in the mirror. And she says, look at my legs. They are so strong and they keep my body moving around. And I'm so grateful for these legs. And her daughter says something similar. And she's proactively approaching sort of body appreciation, right? Yeah. Maybe in an effort to combat, you know, some of that difficult stuff that's just going to come. It's in the air we breathe. Yeah. But I feel like she's arming her little girl with some tools to say, oh, I'm strong. I love my legs because they're strong, not because they're skinny, you know, but because they do important work for my body. Appreciating our bodies as more than objects, which is, you know, so similar to what that book is so great and talks about, that we're not just objects to be looked at, right? We're bodies to live and breathe and move. And, you know, we have so much power in these bodies. I love that idea.
And it gives them that sense of that. I love it when you have those moments when your kids like appreciate their body for what it can do, for being, you know, strong or tall or whatever, short, whatever it is, with whatever the benefit is, they feel it, you know? My kids saw their dad's body just deteriorate. He had ALS, and so his muscles deteriorated, so he couldn't really use it. And he used to just kind of like make fun of his body, like, I used to be so great. And then we would be like, no, it's great. And we would try to like compliment him on stuff, but it was kind of a joke because we were like, yeah, I mean, it's not great, but it's still, you're still very good looking, you know, or whatever, to make him feel better. And it was kind of like this family joke. But I'll tell you what, having a bunch of, at the time, teenagers in the house no one talked bad about their body.
Oh my gosh, right?
Because they could all walk and they could all talk and they could all lift up their arms and their body did whatever they want. And that, now that's a dramatic lesson for sure. But
it made them more appreciative of what their bodies can do.
Yeah. And they know, and when I'm like, good, I'm never going to complain about my body again. They're like, yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah.
Which is an important lesson for all of us to learn, honestly, is that if we have a functioning, capable body, we have so much to be grateful for because we can do all the things you were talking about. We can run, jump, love help our kids, like all the things that we can do with it, if we could just be a little bit more grateful and a little bit less harmful to ourselves.
And so maybe we can like give our kids, point out, you know, you find what you're looking for, point out those reasons for gratitude. But it always comes back to, we live in a society and people are going to make dumb comments.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And you don't know who it is. Sometimes it's family members. Sometimes it's just random stranger. I mean, and especially on social media. So my question to you is that when you hear those comments, even if they're praising them for things that you're like, let's just, you know, turn it down. How do you react? Hmm. What's your coping skills?
I think some of it too, I'm like thinking back to my own experiences when I was little, you know, and a boy that I really liked told me that I had hair on my upper lip, you know, so he's like, he has a mustache, but he wasn't trying to be mean. He was just curious. And he's like, oh, like I have some hair. You have a mustache too, you know, and things like that. So taking things with a grain of salt and not immediately jumping to being super upset and just like, okay, like, I don't think maybe they meant it that way. Like, it's okay.
Such a good example.
Being a little bit more curious and trying to give people a little bit more grace, I think is important. But it is hard to know how to react because it's hurtful if you get told something that maybe you're already self-conscious about.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh, like you noticed my arms. Like, I always worry about my arms.
Yeah. Or you think everyone's looking at your arms and no one's looking at your arms.
Yeah, no one cares.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, that's why it doesn't make any sense.
But you might get comments. And so it is really important to think about, like, how am I going to react when that happens?
I like the idea of normalizing even the comments, even the negativity. Like, oh, of course people are going to say mean things. You can count on that. Mm-hmm. You can just plan on that. It's going to happen. It happens to all of us. And yet we're so shocked when it happens and think, oh my gosh, it's such a big problem, right? But what if, of course it's still going to hurt. But I like that tool to, of course, oh yeah, that's going to happen. That happens to everybody. Yeah, people are mean sometimes and they hurt your feelings.
Because then you feel less alone in it.
Yeah, maybe a little less alone. And it's not a surprise then, I think, too. You're not maybe as hurt by it because of course that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. I wonder if that's something that, you know, your kids, some kids, and certainly we're true with this, like, can grow up and be like, yeah, what are you going to do? And then other kids are like, and I'll never forget it, what they said on this day. And this is why all bad things have happened to me. Like, right?
Yeah. I'm more in that camp.
I have different. Like, I have a friend who always tells a story about how she was playing with her toddler. Okay, a toddler. And her toddler was like, Mom, why are your teeth yellow? And she was like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, they're not. Okay, maybe they are. Like, you know? And she was like laughing it off. And I know other people who will be like, this kid made a comment in the second grade.
Yeah.
And so I've always been self-conscious.
Yeah.
Forever and ever.
So approaching each kid too differently, I think,
is important.
Yeah,
what do you think is the best way then to navigate that?
Whew, that's so tough. I feel like, you have to know your kids. You have to be having conversations with them and have some closeness with them to be able to have these kinds of conversations, you know? So that takes a lot of extra outside of just this one conversation work that's drops in the bucket, you know, type of mentality here. Because there will be times when it gets worse and it's harder. And so having this as a foundation, like, oh, we already have talked about kind of some harder things. So that way when they come to me with even harder things, it's gonna be okay. We've already done this, we know what we're doing. And they know that they can trust me and I can trust them and we're going to be emotionally vulnerable. And I think that builds that connection, builds that resilience as well. So it's a lot of work.
I do like that and normalizing it.
Yeah.
I have a kid who I try to take their concerns seriously, but I don't see it. Frankly, I get to the point where I don't want to talk that much about looks, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, what about this? I'm self-conscious about this. Mm-hmm. I'm self-conscious about the way that my hair falls, the way that this looks, like things that I think, okay, this is important to her, so I want to acknowledge it, but also like nobody notices those things. Mm-hmm. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Stop looking for things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about something else.
Yes.
Anything else. Yes. Yeah. And don't you think that we talk about it maybe a little bit too much too?
Yeah.
How do we combat that? Yes. Like, how do we talk about it so that our kids feel validated, but don't talk about it so much that that's the focus?
Oh, that is such a tricky balance. The how the hair falls conversation is ringing real true for
me. I just want to scream and be like, yeah, nobody cares looks at that. Or
no one's looking. And that is such a tricky balance to validate. I hear you. I see you. Oh, and it doesn't matter that, you know, that's not what our kids are looking for. And then it jeopardizes that connection, right?
Yeah,
that relationship.
And that's the last thing you want.
Yeah. Boy, that's a hard one.
I actually had an experience growing up. So I have curly hair, right? And that is not as common usually. And when I was 14 or 15, my hair all of a sudden got really curly and it was fuzzy. I'm from a humid state. So it just, I felt like I could do nothing to make it look good. And I had kind of similar, like, the hair is not falling right. And looking back on that moment, my mom was so calm, kind of thing. She didn't 100% know how to handle it, but I think she realized that what I was experiencing was amplified because of hormones. I'm a child and going through all these changes. I was hitting puberty really hard, and it's really tough in high school and in middle school, things like that. There were just so many other factors that made it bigger than it really was.
That's a really good point.
And eventually I was okay with it, and I came to terms with my hair, and I love it. So
you grew into yourself.
Yeah. And I was able to just own it. But I think it was that my mom kind of took a step back a little bit. And she was like, it's going to be okay. You know, instead of like trying, like we were talking about, that balance is really hard. But yeah, she was able to kind of, you know, sometimes be like, you know, like, this is what we can do to fix it. And other times she'd be like, you know what? I think it looks really good. And that's okay. Like, you know, if you don't like it, that's fine. But like, no one cares. So it's kind of, I think it's both.
I really like that, because aren't we all like that too? Mm-hmm. Like I can say, oh, my kid does this, but don't I do that exact same thing? Like one day I'll be like, I hate it. I hate everything. Yeah. And then the other day you're like, oh, turns out I was just hungry.
Yeah.
Weird.
Needed a nap.
And I was kind of sleepy. Yeah. So now I feel different.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you for having this conversation. It's an ongoing conversation. We're never done having the body image conversation, especially as parents, especially as mothers. Yeah. But I do feel like we have the power to change it and to make things better for the next generation, which is all we want as moms, just to make things better for our kids. Yeah. So thanks for being vulnerable and talking about these difficult things. And please join in on the conversation. We'd love to hear from you as our wider council of moms. Please leave a comment on the Lisa Show on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube, and join the conversation, because we need your experience and your ideas to know that we're not just not alone, but also that things are getting better. Thanks.